You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, April the 15th, and the Pistons found out what playoff basketball tastes like, and it doesn't taste so good for the Detroiters. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Appreciate you guys spreading the word as we are in the playoffs officially for the Pistons, and we're going to talk it out. Today we're going to run down the facts from Sunday's Game 1 against Milwaukee, also run down what's going on around the league, how it impacts the Pistons and what they blew as far as an opportunity. I have some thoughts from tonight's game, the biggest bright spots to pass along, some thoughts on Andre Drummond's flagrant foul, and what the Pistons can take away from Sunday. Look, if we believe, or if you're one of those people like me who believe it's good for this team to have made the playoffs this year, then what came out of Sunday? What are we looking at in games like this? I have a major lesson that's an important one that's being driven home to this franchise right now. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. A lot of new followers coming on board with the playoffs here. Also, give me a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash Matt Shook as well. But as you probably know by now, the Pistons got annihilated by the Bucks in Game 1 in Milwaukee. An 18-4 lead right away and just got crushed throughout. It was 121-86, the final score. And that sounds just about right. That was the kind of beatdown that this one was. There wasn't like 90 seconds of good basketball consecutive that the Pistons put together all game long, which in a 48-minute game is kind of crazy. And it really kind of, as far as the intensity of the beatdown, the dismantling of 48 minutes that we saw on Sunday night, I really can only remember three of those games off the top of my head. Now, two of them, I think, were actually the games at Milwaukee, both of those games there, and also the Oklahoma City game at home the Pistons had earlier this season. Really just nothing good to be taken away from those games. Like I said, we're talking about 82 games and only three of them were they complete garbage all throughout the game and just completely overwhelmed by obviously a superior foe. They lay this egg here in Game 1 of the playoffs, national TV and all that good stuff. So a good thing that the Game of Thrones took away so much of the focus nationally and on social media and whatnot on Sunday night, so people kind of brushed off this one and moved on with their lives, as they probably will until proven otherwise by the Pistons in this rest of the series. This is getting NBA TV treatment. You know, nobody's going to be interested in this series, and rightfully so. This is big boy basketball that the Milwaukee Bucks are playing, and this Pistons team is obviously not ready for it right now. They're not good enough, and they're really not all that close to being good enough to compete in games like this right now. These are all things that we knew 2 months ago, all things that we knew 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago, and we'll continue to know 2 weeks from now as far as the Bucks and the Pistons and how these teams stack up. The big story, one of the big stories, is that Blake Griffin missed the game. It was announced about an hour before the game when Dwayne Casey did his pregame media availability that Griffin's sore left knee would keep him out of Game 1. As I said last week, in the last couple weeks, I have serious questions why this guy played 75 games this year. He played 72 of the first 75 games before the last couple weeks when he sat out most of the final stretch when they needed him most. And now Sunday night, Game 1 of the playoffs, first playoff game in 3 years. Of course, he's on the bench in a suit when the Pistons need him more. I have serious questions about why the organization suddenly feels like he needs to sit out, why they need to be telling him that he needs to sit out. Where was this idea in November, in January? Why is he ever playing back-to-backs? It's something we touched upon. It's a tone that I did not appreciate throughout the season from the coaching staff and the training staff, and obviously now we're kind of getting the other side of it and showing, proving why that kind of thing didn't need to be happening for the entire regular season. But stat-wise, on Sunday, just to run it down, Giannis had 24 points and 17 rebounds, 16 from George Hill. Doesn't matter. The Bucks were 15 of 43 from three, so really not even that great of a percentage. I mean, a league average-ish percentage there. But just an amazing amount of threes taken. And I guess when you're up by that much, and they're a team that we know shoots the most in the league as far as attempts in the regular season, but when you're up by that much, I mean, might as well just shoot some threes and not show much about what you're going to do. Not that it would matter with the series with the Pistons, but maybe teams going forward, Mike Budenholzer can keep things as close to the vest as possible because he obviously doesn't need to, pull up any special, sets or packages or anything like that going forward with the Pistons. Pistons shot 8 of 27 from 3. Thon Maker in his return, playoff Thon, made his return to Milwaukee 0 of 6 from 3. Looked kind of bewildered throughout the game. The usual chicken with his head cut off, but just completely overwhelmed, possibly by the moment of playing against some of his best friends in Milwaukee. The crowd kind of weirdly turning on him. I didn't realize that there was like a bad divorce with him and some of the crowd. They were like lustily booing him. And, James Edwards and some of the other guys, the Pistons reporters that were at the game, were talking about, crowd, individual and crowd members near the court that were kind of yelling at him and stuff. And again, that's not how, obviously there's something I don't know about because, or a tone within the, maybe because he was a pretty high draft pick that obviously kind of fizzled out, or not kind of fizzled out. He didn't become the player that they had hoped that they were drafting that high. You can kind of think of Stanley Johnson in that way, but I don't think that Stanley Johnson, when he comes to Detroit, I wouldn't expect him to get like a nasty reception. But I mean, I guess it's playoff basketball, and like I said, there's probably some things that I don't know about there. For the Pistons, good news, I guess, is Luke Kennard, 4 of 5 from 3. He had 21 points, a team high for him. 4 rebounds. The only Piston who you could formulate any kind of argument that they had like a decent game there. Drummond, he had 12 points and 12 rebounds before getting the flagrant 2 and being tossed to the locker room. And Reggie Jackson had 12 points, apparently. So I wanted to, by the way, first kind of address my prediction that I had in the Detroit News. I said the Bucks would win in 5 games. I was the only person in the Detroit News or the Free Press over the weekend that said the Pistons would win a game. So obviously a little bit of egg on my face from, as we sit here right now after game 1. I stand beside the prediction with the, I think, fairly obvious caveat, but just wanted to kind of put it on record, that if Blake Griffin isn't playing in this series, or, I mean, he's got to play, and he's got to play fairly effectively, too, for the Pistons to have any chance of winning one game. I wasn't last week under the illusion that he would be January Blake and score 35, 40 points or anything like that. But if he doesn't play, this is going to be like, obviously, the sweepiest sweep of all time. There's no chance the Pistons are going to win a game, no doubt about it. And even, even assuming that there was some decent health and production from Blake in at least a couple of these games, I was wavering in my prediction between the Bucks and 4 and Bucks and 5. And again, like I said, kind of splitting hairs a little bit. But I just thought that they'd, bring a good effort in one of the home games and win one of them, shoot well, Blake do the job and throw a bunch of bodies at Giannis and see what happens. Again, I wasn't sure about that, but I'll stand by it with the caveat that Blake has to play a couple games and look more like the Oklahoma City game than the Memphis game down the stretch in the season. But certainly even if he does play and look okay in the home games or maybe starting on Wednesday, they may not win a game. I mean, this is like, I would not be surprised at all if this is a sweep. Although you would expect the Pistons to get competitive at some point in those home games, especially. But we'll see. But I just wanted to kind of clear the air about my prediction. There's no scenario where a Blake Griffin-less Pistons team wins a game against the Bucks. But I do have questions long term about how this Bucks team will react when they're challenged in the playoffs, maybe punched in the mouth a little bit. But again, this is clearly not going to happen in any significant way in the first round against the Pistons. But some other games around the league, interesting weekend for the NBA. And I made the point on Twitter as the Magic closed out Toronto on Saturday for the Game 1 upset up north. But and that was after Brooklyn kind of dominated Philly earlier on Saturday in the playoff opener this year. My point is that does not mean that the Pistons have a decent chance of stealing game 1 in Milwaukee, or that the Brooklyn and Magic and the Pistons group is a little bit better than maybe we would have given them credit for. I think the only thing that drives home is the point that the Pistons really blew it in terms of not getting the 6 or the 7 seed. Obviously, that would have been much better. They could have given I think either of those teams a pretty good series. I know that the most of you guys, and rightfully so, think that Philly was a worse matchup for the Pistons, and it may have ended pretty poorly as well, given the Joel Embiid, Andre Drummond history. And, you know, they've beat Philly this year, you know. They had success, obviously, against Toronto going 3-0. But those Philly games in, you know, the one game in Philly was close, that they were down early in the season, I believe in November, but came back and made a game of it. And then the other game was one of Blake Griffin's sit-out games, and that was, I believe, not as much of a blowout. I'm kind of going off of memory here. But and then the home game on a Friday night, the Pistons were right there, and it was a really close game right down to the wire. So I don't think that that's the uneven battle that a lot of you guys might have characterized it as. But along those same lines of upsets, a nice upset by San Antonio over Denver late on Saturday night as well. So it was kind of going around a little bit, and obviously the Pistons fell flat on their face. And certainly, like I said, no chance without Blake Griffin, and that will be the case going forward. Tonight's action around the NBA, Brooklyn is at Philly in a game that I believe Brooklyn's probably got everyone's attention now. That should be one that's people are going to be wanting to be proving it a little bit more by Brooklyn in that one. Probably going to be a lot of people, casual fans, that maybe weren't super excited about this first-round slate of games, and rightfully so. I don't see a lot of compelling first-round series here, but that becomes very compelling with that 1-0 Brooklyn lead, and same goes for Orlando and Toronto. Again, these are two series where I expect the higher seeds to ultimately prevail, but we're seeing what the Pistons could have had, you know, a compelling first-round series, a chance to win a game, couple few games, who knows. But then the late game tonight, Clippers at Golden State. It's a TNT slate tonight, so check those out, and we'll run down each of the playoff games. But up next, I'm going to give some more thoughts on the game. I got a bright spot. I got some thoughts on Andre Drummond's flagrant foul, and that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which, by the way, you can get the Locked On Pistons podcast on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. And hey, I got a new sponsor to tell you about, and that is the Wyze Cam. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze, that's W-Y-Z-E. It's packed with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for $20. 1080p, full HD, images so clear that you won't miss a thing. Night vision, two-way audio. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. Check out on your home anytime with Wyze apps live stream. Connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. Just live stream with that 8x digital zoom. They got the free rolling 14-day cloud storage. So you can check that out. No subscriptions, like all those annoying things that keep charging you online. At $20 per camera, you can do anything. You want to watch your kids destroy your house? And here's an idea for you. Maybe you're going to be out of town. Have the old lady set it up by the TV so you can watch George and Greg, a little Fox Sports Detroit action from the hotel. You want some more? Well, they got that too. For just $10 more, the Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast, and your camera should too. 160-degree per second rotation speed, 360-degree horizontal range, and 93 degrees vertical range. I looked it up on the old Amazons compared to some of the others, and those are good numbers. Trust me on that. Control your room with the pan scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. Track all the action around the house. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view, keeping up with life in real time, and it's never been so easy. This works with Alexa. Again, you can use it on your mobile phone from anywhere, and the free rolling 14-day cloud storage, so you can kind of keep tabs on everything throughout your house for a long period of time. Go to wyze.com/locked. Again, that's Wyze, WYZE.com/locked, to get the guaranteed lowest price here from Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, I'm going to tell you the main takeaway from Sunday. What did we learn in the Game 1 debacle? If it's valuable to have these games, if we believe that the Pistons are better off for getting into the playoffs this year, then what's the point? Why is that happening? And I'll explain what Sunday tells us and what games like this could tell us about the team. And it's not a good thing, but it's a productive thing to know. First, a little bit of a bright spot. Luke Kennard, who, by the way, didn't enter the game until 3:27 was left in the first. Pistons already down 16. Game over, basically. So it wasn't his fault that all the damage he did was basically garbage time. His whole 28 minutes was garbage time. But I wanted to address this. I saw the Luke Kennard should start argument coming up again. If Blake Griffin is out, I would be in favor of Luke starting. I agree with that. I think not starting Luke when Blake does play is absolutely the right thing to do. I think he's more effective in the second unit, and I think he gets, kind of just overshadowed by the Blake Griffin-Reggie Jackson combination. And like I said, he's just more effective with that second unit and usually kind of seems to get lost with the starters out there. But when you've got Thon Maker and Bruce Brown out there starting together, you're going to have issues with spacing. You're going to have issues with scoring in the first quarter. And that's exactly what happened against the Milwaukee Bucks on Sunday. So if we're talking about Wednesday and Blake Griffin's going to be out again, I would be in favor of inserting Luke Kennard into the starting lineup for Bruce Brown. Want to go on record there. And give him Kennard big minutes too. A guy that he showed is up for this time of year. And certainly a guy that's a big part of the Pistons for future going forward. And you want to get him as much run as possible the rest of the series. But a couple interesting stats to pass along, by the way, and not good ones, as you might imagine, from the Pistons case here. Malika Andrews of ESPN.com, in her write-up on the game, passed along that Andre Drummond was a minus 45, and that is the worst plus-minus in the past 20 postseasons, according to ESPN stats and information research. So, rough day for Andre, no doubt about that. The Pistons, played a little bit better and maybe helped out some of the starters plus minus minutes in the fourth when Andre was already in the showers. So he didn't get the benefit of that and obviously got the brunt of all the bad stuff. And he's to blame for some of it. Obviously, he didn't play well either. But certainly it wasn't the Drummond was the reason the Pistons were getting killed or anything like that. But also our friend Dan Feldman of NBCSports.com. Also talked about, and former host of Locked On Pistons podcast, by the way, passed along during the weekend that if the Pistons get swept by the Bucks, Detroit will have the longest playoff losing streak of all time in 14 games. The Knicks currently hold that right now, losing 13 straight from 2001 to 2012. So the Pistons wouldn't be on the verge of history in these next three games, so another reason to buckle down and win one of these games if you're the Detroit Pistons going forward here. But got some thoughts on Andre's ejection as well. A shove of Giannis Antetokounmpo under the basket resulted in a flagrant two and an ejection for Drummond. He was kicked out of the rest of the game, but he does not. That doesn't carry over. He's back for game two. No problems there. But after the game, Blake Griffin, in kind of arguing against the ejection of Andre, brought up the hit by Russell Westbrook in the late season game against Oklahoma City, where that was reviewed and ultimately determined to be, I believe, just a flagrant one. So he was not tossed from the game and just a technical foul free throw, basically. When Zaza was going up for the shot, and Russ just, like as hard as he could, just clubbed him over the head with his forearm. And like I said, I thought that play was kind of glossed over, and I agree with Blake. I was glad to hear him bring that one up because I thought I was a little bit on an island in thinking that should have earned an ejection. I don't care who Russell Westbrook is, and you know my disdain for Russ if you listen to this podcast a lot. But regular and Blake made the point that it's a regular season game back then too, so maybe you are quicker to kick out guys and stars like Andre Drummond is and deserves to be officiated that way. He isn't and doesn't get officiated that way, but that's partly his own fault too, as he's got to, maybe conduct himself a little bit better, and I kind of wanted to get into that too. And also, in defense of the referees, the context of the game probably matters with the Drummond ejection on Sunday. The refs are probably saying, hey, man, this one's a blowout. Let's get him out of here. You're just going to give him out for the rest of the game. We're not going to suspend him or anything like that. Obviously, Andre was just trying to send some kind of message. I thought it was dumb. I thought, I know that the bad boys were known for this stuff, but, I mean, it was an embarrassing night already. Just take the L in this one. This guy Giannis is killing us, and will continue to kill us, and we do something like that to him. It's not like we fought hard and we're sending a message for the next game. Just got embarrassed on the road, and Andre, as the leader of this team right now on the court with Blake out, just kind of, it was sad. It was out of place. And then again, I thought his weird interview after the game was immature. You know, he says, I was just wanting to get better. I was able to get to the shower quicker. I think he was making an awkward joke about that question. Then he gives the no comment to Jennifer Hammond of Fox 2, her next question quickly when she's asking about the flagrant, which is clearly a reasonable question to ask. Like, what did you think about the fact that you got kicked out of the game? What were you thinking? All that stuff. Now, after I pointed that out on Twitter, some of the other guys, and this is something I totally missed from last week, apparently there was a Jennifer Hammond controversy with Andre and Reggie, the interview that they gave after the playoff win, that I saw that interview, didn't really think much of it. Just a kind of an awkward bad joke from those two, which is kind of something we're used to with those two, I guess. But I think Jennifer probably made a little bit too big of a deal about it, and I think Pistons Twitter has kind of vilified her at this point, and I don't agree with that. You know, I like Jennifer Hammond, and I think she does a great job. So anyway, I have no real opinion on that. I just wanted to kind of pass along something that I was brought to my attention after I kind of made my comment about I think Jennifer was doing just fine when she was passing along that Andre said he was going to, he got to go to the shower and made that weird joke about that after the game. But anyway, I'm not going to dwell on this stuff. Obviously, there's been much more good Andre than bad Andre lately, but the ongoing immaturity seems to continue to be a little bit of an issue, especially for a guy who's a max player. You would have hoped that maybe Blake's professionalism would have rubbed off on him a little bit more this year, but here we are in the playoffs, kind of talking about these kind of off-court things and interviews and grudges against reporters and, you know, things like that. But and now looking back, when I was, again, I missed this controversy from Twitter last week. Looking back, Reggie also gave Jennifer short shrift in some of the questions from Friday's media availability that I was at. And I was like, wow, that's kind of odd. Didn't really think much of it until then. Again, this stuff was kind of brought to my attention tonight after the game. But anyway, let's move on. Remember to get this show every day. And why wouldn't you want to listen and rehash these kind of he said, she said high school stories? But to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Pistons on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Pistons. Up next, we are going to talk about what the Pistons can take away from a game like this in a series that looks like it might continue to go like this if Blake Griffin's not available. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Well, we've got some breaking news here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Let you behind the curtain a little bit. I'm up real late. It's like 1:30 in the morning as I'm finishing up the show here tonight. And there's a report from Vinnie Goodwill of Yahoo Sports, friend of the program, former Detroit News beat writer for the Pistons as well, now gone national with Yahoo Sports. Headline is, sources, Pistons Blake Griffin will likely miss first round series with Bucks. Now, not a definitive thing there, but sounds like Blake will be held out for the rest of the playoff series. Obviously, this changes, it doesn't change much in that the Pistons are still going to lose, but, you know, my prediction of Pistons in five, or I'm sorry, Pistons five, of Bucks in five is no longer the prediction I would make. You know, this will be a sweep if indeed Blake Griffin does not play. And so I just wanted to kind of point out some of the things from the article here on yahoo.com. As you hear this on Monday morning or whenever you listen to this, maybe there'll be some more confirmation coming out or whatever. But it says Griffin will be listed as day-to-day for the remainder of the series with a league source calling it a, quote, slim chance, unquote, he plays this weekend. There's no structural damage in the left knee, and it's unclear whether he'll need some type of minor procedure this offseason. Griffin and team doctors will decide the best course of action when the season concludes. Yeah, so that's pretty much it there. Nothing to, you know, just, and Vinny, again, connected with the Detroit Pistons folks on the inside from his time covering the team with the Detroit News. No reason to believe that there's anything inaccurate about Vinny's reporting here. But, and Vinny doesn't, he doesn't say definitively that there's no chance Blake will play. And maybe there is some hope being held out by Blake and maybe some other people around the organization as well. But I was going to talk in this segment about what the Pistons can take from Sunday and maybe more games about that going forward. But that, I mean, we'll just kind of expand on that line of thinking into Tuesday's show, because now that's what the series is. Like I said, it's going to be a sweep if Blake doesn't play, no doubt about it. And it's a real shame, obviously. You know, me pointing my finger at the coaching staff and medical staff, notwithstanding, about how this happened, how a guy can play 75 games with the injuries he's had over his career, and other all the other teams that have superstars that maybe have had problems with their health, they're doing more due diligence in how they're managing their load and how they're, I know we make the load management jokes, but there's a reason that those things happen. There's a reason that Kawhi Leonard, and I know they maybe overdo it a little bit in Toronto, but the back-to-backs, anytime Blake plays a back-to-back is certainly a bad move for the Pistons. I believed it then, and I believe it now, and I vocalized it then as well. So a black mark for the organization here, and a shame, of course, because Blake Griffin reclaimed his status as a superstar in this league. I expect that he's going to become an All-NBA, probably third-teamer, possibly second-teamer, but probably a third-teamer in the voting that will come out after the season as well. So, again, Vinny Goodwill of Yahoo Sports is very connected with the Pistons and is reporting that Blake Griffin will likely miss the entire first-round series with the Bucks. So, yeah, and again, and while we're kind of on this topic of what is going on here with this this sweep and what it means, grand scheme of things, there was a lot of you guys and a lot of the Pistons diehards, as I call a lot of the listeners and a lot of the positive folks around this team, and I love you all and appreciate you all and consider myself to be among you as well. Just because the Pistons won the last two games and got in the playoffs doesn't mean that you guys get the W and the radio station gets the L. You know, like this touchdown dance that was done because the Pistons get into the playoffs, that's strange to me. It doesn't prove anything. Not to say that I agree that getting into the playoffs was the right move for the trajectory and the makeup of this organization going forward. And certainly rooting for a loss in the last game of the year so you can get a 2.6% chance of getting a top four pick, that's idiotic. But, you know, we are proven to be correct that the direction of the franchise is accurate because we made the playoffs this year as a victory is just as strange and short-sighted as the column I read tonight from Pat Caputo of the Oakland Press, of course, on 97 won the ticket at Odd Hours as well, saying that this loss on Sunday to the Milwaukee Bucks without Blake Griffin in game one of a playoff series proves that the Pistons should have been tanking, just as idiotic as Pat Caputo's column. Geez, unbelievable. Worth a read, even if you are like me and maybe roll your eyes at the book sometimes, especially given his history with some of the questioning at the Dwayne Casey press conference, which we talked about back then. But just, yeah, I mean, if you, nothing about the games last week against Memphis or New York or the game on Sunday, these individual games, proves anything about the long-term prognosis or who's right and who's wrong about this team going forward. But anyway, this series and this podcast and this week going forward probably takes on a different tone with Blake Griffin likely being out, according to Vinny Goodwill. So we'll go with it. We'll figure it out, and we'll see if the Pistons got any life on him without Blake Griffin and what happens with this. You know, the point spreads will go up, rightfully so, and we'll see what happens from here. So, again, this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying we'll be back tomorrow to try to rehash where we go from here with these Detroit Pistons and these Milwaukee Bucks, who are as impressive as you would imagine on Sunday night and their home opener for their playoff push to try to win the NBA championship. Certainly a legitimate contender for that. So we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.